You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Here, you'll find answers to your questions about the Christian faith, the Bible, and trends in the church today. At the Christian Research Institute, we do what we do because truth matters. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I want to start the broadcast today with a word on wisdom. Wisdom is the application of knowledge, which is precisely what Jesus Christ emphasized in concluding his majestic Sermon on the Mount when he said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice or applies them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, they beat against that house. But it didn't fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, does not apply them, is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." James used irony to drive home the selfsame point. In essence, he said that anyone who hears the word and does not apply it is like a man who looks in a mirror, sees that his face is dirty, and doesn't wash it. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. A lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to our phone callers. First up today, Mary listening on Bot Radio in Oklahoma. Hi, Mary.
Yes. Thank you for taking my question. I have a relative who gave me a copy of the Urantia book, and my question is how is it best to witness to him, and what are the major fallacies?
Well, I think the big thing is to know essential Christian doctrine, because the essentials of the historic Christian faith are the dividing line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. And certainly the dividing line between the Urantia book and the Bible. By the way, Urantia is a name for earth.
Yes.
And the claim is that Christianity distorted the teachings of Jesus Christ, and so we need a new and correct revelation for this earth. It's a book that's kind of crazy. On the one hand, erudite when it comes to cosmology and anthropology, but it claims to have been authored by supernatural celestial beings through an unidentified human subject. And again, it distorts essential Christian doctrine and does so intentionally. So I think the operative issue here, once again, becomes to know essential Christian doctrine. So when the distortions are given, you can use these distortions or deviations as a springboard or an opportunity to share the truth and life and love that only Jesus Christ brings to the human heart, the Jesus Christ defined by Christianity in the Bible, not by this cultic idea.
I gave him a copy of the Bible. It's a New King James Version, Charles Stanley's Life Principles Bible. And he had many questions. And I personally, what I read in the Urantia book, and I've not read much, but what I've read is really far-fetched, way out there. And I didn't know how to proceed further with that.
Well, you need to be able to, as I said, you need to use the deviations, because they deviate on all the essentials. So to know the essentials becomes a springboard for communication. And ultimately, you have to get down to the brass tack issue of truth. What is truth? How do you know that the Bible is true and the Urantia book is not true? How do you know that? Well, one corresponds to reality, the other does not.
Yes. All right. Well, I appreciate your answers, and thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Matt. Matt is listening on XM 170, Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Hank. How you doing, sir?
Good, thank you.
Good deal. I appreciate your ministry, and God bless the CRI. So.
Thank you so much.
My question is dealing with gambling. Where does that stand in the Christian life? I mean, is it something that should be forbidden to do, or what's your take on it?
Well, I have to look at the issues involved. One of the big issues is that you have the glorification of chance. And you have, as a result, people relying on luck rather than relying on the providence of God. And so in the process, you can disregard Christian principles on a lot of different levels, including stewardship principles, which is to say that we are going to give account for everything that we have, our time, our talent, and our treasure, and therefore we need to be faithful with all of them. The other problem that I see is that it often attempts to profit at the expense of someone else's issue. In other words, you're profiting at someone else's expense, and as such, it appeals to the greed within us. The world, the flesh, and the devil capitalize on that, and it becomes a very addictive kind of a practice to be involved in. So I think that when you're involved in gambling as a point of mere chance, I think it's a very dangerous thing to be involved in. There are a lot of things, however, that people construe as gambling that aren't gambling at all. For example, a lot of people think that the stock market is just gambling. I would say that's not true. If you do good research and you find companies that are solidly run companies that are meeting real needs, there are large demands for the product the company is making, then it's worthwhile to invest in a company like that. So it's not pure chance. It is something that is involved in a whole lot more than chance. You are doing research, and therefore you're making a reasoned decision and exercising stewardship principles. So not everything that's called gambling is gambling.
Okay. Okay. So, like, say, playing the lottery or playing bingo, that would be considered different than what you're explaining as far as the stock market and everything.
Yeah, I think it would be very different. And the lottery, I'll tell you what, it is a tax on people at the end of the day who oftentimes have very little. If you look at the average person trying to make it big in the lottery, which is like having lightning strike the same house four times in a row, it just is a horrible way in which people who oftentimes do not have means to start with are being, in a way, taxed by the government, but they are acquiescing to it. It's unfortunate.
Right. Okay. And I guess another thing I'd have to say is a lot of it, a lot of the money goes towards funding schooling and things of that nature. I mean, is that,
Well, the question is, does the end justify the means? I would say that's the operative issue or principle here.
Right. Okay.
Fair enough?
Okay.
Appreciate your call, man.
That works. I appreciate it. Thank you, Hank.
Okay. Thank you for calling. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Chris, listening in Edmond, Oklahoma. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Hank. Thanks so much for taking my call. We support your ministry, and we're so thankful for you and the website especially.
Oh, bless you.
My question to you is this. I became a Christian at a very young age, and there's a sin that I committed a very long time ago, way before I met my husband. But it's something I'm so ashamed of that I believe I've repented of to God. I've been on my knees. I've been in tears over it. I've confessed it to him. I realize I'm a sinner. But because I'm too ashamed to share it with my husband, I feel like I've not really repented. And then I start questioning my salvation. Because, you know, if God wants me to confess this to my husband, if I'm keeping it from him, I'm lying. And so I don't know what to do with that. I'm full of angst over it, and I'm scared.
Yeah, I can understand that. Well, first of all, it doesn't impact your salvation. You are saved because you recognize you're a sinner, you've repented of your sin, and received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life. And therefore, you are His, and He is yours, and no one will snatch you out of His hand. So you can rest assured that your salvation is not an issue here. Secondly,
if I'm not telling him, I'm perpetually lying, aren't I?
Not necessarily. First of all, you've confessed your sin to Jesus Christ. He is faithful and just. He has forgiven you of your sin. He has cleansed you from all unrighteousness. It may hurt your husband more to tell him than help your husband if you tell him. I mean, these are things that sometimes are best left untalked about. Now, I can't say that in every single case, in every single circumstance, and that's why I say it's so important with questions like this, Chris, to have boots on the ground, where there are people who know the circumstance and the situation, they can give you good counsel. Well, if nobody knows about this, and again, I don't know the circumstance, but there are situations in which perhaps at this time it's best for you to keep this between you and the Lord. I mean, it's about moving beyond history into the future. You are walking with the Lord. You are growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There may come a time where the trust is so strongly established, the bond so incredibly cemented, that some of those issues that you struggle with in your past are going to actually be alleviated by the discussion with your husband. But you also have to
recognize that.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that every single circumstance has to be discussed at this particular time. If you don't feel a freedom to do that at this point, I would counsel you, and again, I'm doing it a bit in a vacuum, so you have to take that for what it's worth, but I would counsel you to go with your heart. You've confessed it to the Lord. Leave it between you and the Lord for this time.
Well, you had also mentioned, I appreciate that counsel, thank you. You had mentioned to someone on a previous broadcast about people who can wholeheartedly think that they're saved and not be. And, you know, I have that flip chart. I've gone through it. I think I believe all of it, but somehow something I have a hard time explaining, that I question my salvation sometimes. I'm terrified of being in front of God and Him saying, depart from me. I mean, the thought of that just devastates me.
Well, remember, though, Chris, you are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is a righteousness not of your own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. So you are covered by His righteousness. Yes, it is good for us to know that we are hopelessly in sin. All of us, you, me, and every other Christian. In fact, that's the entrance requirement into the kingdom, to realize that we're so hopelessly lost,
yes,
so hopelessly imploded in sin that we have no way out apart from the Savior. So we recognize His grace in spite of our sin. We recognize a grace that covers our sin. And recognize also, Chris, that Jesus Christ is working redemptively in your life to transform you. And that when you became a believer, you didn't become a Lone Ranger Christian, but you were born into the family of God. And being born into a family has a very rich significance, particularly with the angst that you're experiencing. If you are in a healthy, well-balanced church, it may be that you can sit down with a pastor and share in confidence your circumstance so that you can get counsel from that pastor and resolve the issue once and for all. It may be that the pastor says, you know, I think this is a circumstance, really be good to get into a counseling situation with myself or maybe someone else that he recommends, where you can, as the three of you work through this issue, it may be that he says, in looking at the issue, I don't think the time is right now. But that's where the body of Christ can work redemptively in the process of dealing with a past sin. But I don't think you want to be presumptive about this. If you don't feel a peace about this at this point, to go directly to your husband may not be the best step. The best first step would be to go to a pastor who can deal with this in confidence.
Well, I appreciate your counsel on that. I do know that Satan likes to isolate us. He likes to isolate me, and I feel, you know, condemnation over it. And I think it's probably good to at least bring it to light with someone who, you know, like you said, someone who could counsel me in that sense.
Dear sister, you are saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, and there is therefore no more condemnation. Thank God for the fact that there is not a single sin that cannot be under the blood. You are in that condition. You're under His blood. Your sin has been paid for and remembered against you no more. It is separated from you as far as the east is from the west, in the deepest part of the sea, never to be remembered against you again. Thank you for your call and for staying tuned to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more of your calls right here. Stay tuned.
Right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, you've heard Hank Hanegraaff interview outstanding contributing writers to the award-winning Christian Research Journal. Well, now we've put the best of these interviews from 2010 into one exciting audio CD. For your gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, we will send you The Forefront, When Doctrine Meets Daily Life. Learn how to define and defend the biblical concept of family. Combat atheism with the truth about objective morality. Answer the accusation often raised by militant atheists that the killing of the Canaanites was God's ethnic cleansing. Explain how the biblical grounds for divorce and remarriage actually protect and elevate the status of women. Respond to the cultural influence of social media and its place in your life. And refute Richard Dawkins and others who claim that Darwinian evolution is proven fact. To order The Forefront, When Doctrine Meets Daily Life, simply call 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org. But don't change the station. Hank will be right back in a moment. Alaska. There's no better place on earth where you can experience God's creative power on display. Stretching beyond your imagination, it is a land of staggering natural beauty. Now you can join the Bible Answer Man Hank Hanegraaff, Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp, and Christian Research Journal Editor-in-Chief Elliot Miller for 7+ inspiring days as you cruise into the grandeur of Alaska. During our time together, we'll unfold the pages of sacred scripture as we are strengthened in our belief in the divine creator of the universe. All of our sessions with Hank, your meals, accommodations, and five-star cruise are included in one very low price. To participate in this event, you must register through Sovereign Cruises. Sign up by visiting equip.org or by calling Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101. Remain faithful in a world that claims feelings are just as important as facts, if not more so, we have to know the truth about what we believe and why, because truth matters. But simply knowing correct doctrine can still leave you feeling empty or distant from God. Watchman Nee's The Normal Christian Life will give you the insight you need to live a crucified life, dead to yourself and alive in Christ. This inspirational collection of messages will spur you in a desire to grow even closer to God, especially when life becomes difficult. To find out more or to request your copy of The Normal Christian Life, go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or you can call a CRI resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Forefront, When Doctrine Meets Daily Life, is an equipping audio CD from the Christian Research Institute compiled from 6 insightful interviews on the Bible Answer Man. For your gift this month, we will send you this helpful CD as our way of saying thank you for your faithful prayers and support. Learn how to define and defend the biblical concept of family. Combat atheism with the truth about objective morality. Explain how the biblical grounds for divorce and remarriage actually protect and elevate the status of women. Respond to the cultural influence of social media and its place in your life. And refute Richard Dawkins and others who claim that Darwinian evolution is proven fact, and much more. Get your copy of The Forefront, When Doctrine Meets Daily Life, when you support the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org. Christian Research Journal is CRI's flagship publication featuring relevant, engaging articles with contributions from some of the most respected evangelical thinkers and theologians in the church today, as well as book reviews, witnessing tips, the insightful Ask Hank column, and so much more. Start your subscription today. When you become a Bible Answer Man monthly supporter, we'll send you the next 6 issues of the Christian Research Journal as our way of saying thank you. Just call us at 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org. Well, now let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here once again is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Honor listening in Arkansas. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
The reason I'm calling, I have a good friend who, she's an agnostic, but her 15-year-old daughter she's my daughter's age, and she was raised agnostic and had gotten into some trouble as an adolescent, and I've been, like to say, you know, a positive influence in her life, you know, being a Christian and all, but she was converted to Mormonism through a friend of hers at school, and I felt that was unfortunate, but at the same time, I've seen her do a 180-degree turnaround as far as her behavior. She's just a totally different person as far as how she behaves. She's, trying to, like, walk the straight and narrow path, mm-hmm. and all that, but I'm really concerned, you know, about, you know, it seems like this congregation, this church that she's going to, has a very strict hold on her. It's like a very controlling thing, and she's not even really read their version of the Bible, you know, and she said they don't really encourage that yet until she's older. So, I mean, you know, I don't know. I guess what I'm calling is, I'm wondering, is there, you know, is there something I can do as a Christian to try to encourage her to, read the Bible, you know, become a Christian.
Yeah, I think that's important. But thank goodness, and you can encourage her that she has changed the direction of her life. I mean, that's a positive step. And in doing that, one of the things that she can do is start to get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into her, because fundamentally, the Christian worldview and the Mormon worldview are two very different worldviews. Mormons contend that they will appear before Heavenly Father dressed in fig leaf aprons, holding good works in their hands, and just about everybody gets into heaven. In Christianity, you are not saved by what you do, but you are saved by the finished work of Jesus Christ. So it's not what you do, it is done for you through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so we now live good lives, not to get something, but in gratitude for what we already have. But the whole Mormon worldview has a decidedly different view of who God is, who Jesus Christ is, what salvation is. So while there may be wonderful Mormons in terms of how they live their life in a relational fashion, the ultimate relationship is the one you have with not only the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, but the one who knit you together in your mother's womb. Once that vertical relationship is cemented, is solid, then the horizontal relationships in your life become rich and dynamic and full, and then you can be a witness to the world of the true Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Mormons believe in Jesus Christ, but again, it's not the word you use, it's the meaning you pour into the Word, and the meaning that they pour into the notion of Jesus Christ is completely different. He's the spirit brother of Lucifer, who was conceived in heaven by a celestial mother and then came in flesh as the result of the Father having sex with the Virgin Mary. Far, far different from the notion of Christianity, where he is the self-existent creator of all things.
Right, yeah. And I'm not educated enough to discuss this with her, I don't think, you know.
Well, I've put this together in a very simple form, two different places. One is a little booklet called The Mormon Mirage, Seeing Through the Illusion of Mainstream Mormonism, and in a little book called The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, in which I deal with whether Mormonism is Christian or not, and in a very simple, first, furthermore, finally basis, that just going through that with her should be enough for her to understand the difference, at least, between Mormonism and Christianity, and between their authority and the Christian authority. Their authority is not the Bible. Their authority is the Book of Mormon. They say it's the most correct of any book on earth and the keystone to their religion. We say
you
no.
Have that, oh, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you have that book on the website? In your
yeah,
website?
Yeah, The Mormon Mirage, you can get on the website right now, sure.
And do you have anything for Jehovah's Witness?
We do, yeah. In fact, the Complete Bible Answer Book has an entry on Jehovah's Witnesses as well. But we also have other resources that you can check out on the World Wide Web at equip.org.
Awesome. Okay, I will definitely check that out. And I think that, yeah, that will help steer me. I just want to be a positive influence on her, and because she does look up to me, you know, and because her mom doesn't believe in anything. So, I mean, yeah, I don't want to let her down.
Well, you're in a wonderful position to be a help to her. And again, even if you don't know the answer, you've found a place for the answer. And once you have the answer, you can use that as an opportunity.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Brandon, listening in Missouri. Hi, Brandon.
Hi, Hank. Hi. I've recently encountered a couple of people that they stand on the fact that they think that they are saved by their works, and I tried giving them scripture, you know, telling them that we are saved by grace through faith, and you know, just countless other verses too, and just tried to help them to understand better, but they just respond back very rudely, and they just confirm that they are saved by their works. They try and twist scripture around. They try to twist the teachings of Jesus around to fit their belief, and I just want to know what's the best way to handle people like that and to approach them.
Well, I don't think that it is your responsibility to try to harvest green fruit. You are there to harvest that which God has prepared. So if someone is resistant to the gospel, you can smile at them kindly and testify to them by your love and by your life. And if they're ever willing to genuinely listen, by your lips as well. So you can equip yourself, and that's the issue. I've often said the real issue is not evangelism. The issue is equipping for evangelism. Prepare yourself. Always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. When God opens the door, you're equipped. But again, it's not your responsibility to talk someone into the kingdom if they're being rude or belligerent or won't listen to reason. If they're willing to listen to reason, you already seem to know where you can go in Scripture, and I can think of no better, more succinct statement in this regard than what Paul makes in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. So we don't work for our salvation, but from our salvation.
Right. And like I said, is what really troubles me too is the fact that, you know, they're telling this to other people too. And, you know, to someone that's grounded in their faith, you know, I understand. I mean, I would say that for sure they could stand up against that. But for someone that's weaker in the faith, maybe a new believer or something, it just scares me that they're out there teaching this and making this public. And, you know, they might possibly mislead someone as well.
Well, and this is the issue. The issue is pagans are going to exercise their job description. They're going to be pagans. And we have to recognize that as Christians, the issue is exercise your job description. We are therefore God's ambassadors. We're ambassadors of Christ, as though God is making his work and his will plain through us. And so I think important to be an ambassador, equipped to always be ready to give an answer, and recognize that the world is going to do what they do. The real problem is if the salt loses its saltiness, it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. We're a light on a hill, but if the light is put under a bushel, no one's going to see the light. So I think the issue is for you.
There's not a whole lot you can do, basically. I mean, if you've tried to correct them and they just refuse, then, I mean, leave them alone, correct?
Yeah, I think so. I think be willing to testify to them. But there are times where your life and your love is the only testimony that you can give. If the Lord opens the door, you can use your lips as well. But you're using them if you're equipped. But only if God opens the door. Again, as I started out saying, I don't think that we need to feel as though it is our responsibility to harvest green fruit. Appreciate your call, Brandon.
Okay, thank you.
God bless you, my friend. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Dean. He's listening in Salt Lake City, Utah, KUTR. Hi, Dean.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
I was going to ask you a question on what you feel like some of these prosperity gospels that are going on with, like, say, Benny Hinn and Paula White and, you know, some of the other ones, and what they're doing to affect Christianity.
Yeah, it's a very sad commentary that there is a modern crisis in Christianity, and it's deepening all the time as an ever-increasing number of these prosperity preachers, ranging from Joyce Meyer to T.D. Jakes, are convincing their devotees that what happens in their life is a result of the words they speak. So if you're healthy and prosperous, words created that reality. Conversely, if your baby dies or your spouse gets cancer, you are the problem. It is the words that you're using that create the reality in your life. And it's not a gospel at all. It's a complete distortion of the gospel. And to that point, I wrote a book called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, that not only exposes the darkness to light, but gives you the antidote, how you can effectively witness and counter the contentions of prosperity preachers who have a completely unbiblical notion of what faith is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, we are definitely the Laodicean church here. Now, I live in Salt Lake City. There are a lot of Mormons out here, and they're very, very nice people. I mean, in general, they're very nice, you know, nice people. As a matter of fact, Guy, if we could get Christians to send their children out for half the time, even 6 months of what the LDS people do with theirs, I mean, we could make a lot of headway. You know, I mean, they send out their kids for, like, you know, 2 years to go and, you know, sow this, you know, strange, unusual word to them. And because they're so loving and kind, it sucks people into it, you know. And I was going to say something about some of the witnessing techniques. I've lived out here for a while, and I've seen a lot of damage done by people going and picketing down at Temple Square where they're yelling at people and stuff. And it's put where, you know, anybody that really wants to witness to someone, that they automatically, as soon as you say, well, what about this in the Book of Mormon? This kind of contradicts that. They go, oh, that's anti-Mormon. You can't discuss it. You know, and they back off. They just
pull
away.
I think one of the things that we need to be so aware of, and you're very aptly pointing this out, we need to do what we do with gentleness and with respect, so that the testimony of our life matches the testimony of our words. Coming up to the station break, we'll be right back in just a few moments with more of your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
Hank Hanegraaff has created the perfect tool to build and pass along your spiritual heritage. It's the Legacy Study Bible, designed to give you some of the same insight and understanding you receive from Hank on the Bible Answer Man program. The book introductions are all written by Hank using his well-known acronym, LEGACY, which stands for Location, Essence, Genre, Author, Context, and Years. With timelines, charts, and extensive concordance, four-color maps, and much more, the Legacy Bible is available only through CRI.
Order your copy today. Also, for $250, you can get a personalized edition from Hank. Just call 888-7000-274 or look for it online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay with us. The Bible Answer Man will continue. It's the 21st century, and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
These are the last of the last days. Oh, somewhere between 2003 and 2005, Jesus will come back.
How much longer do you think we really might have?
I don't believe we have another 10 years.
Anywhere from now till 2018, Jesus Christ will appear to set up his thousand-year kingdom of revelation.
When will Jesus come back? The consensus is as varied as the number of so-called experts you ask. So where do you turn for definitive scriptural insight on the end times? Understanding Revelation is now within your grasp. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff deals with today's most asked prophecy questions. It distinctively presents a method by which you can read the Bible for all it's worth. The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about end times and why it matters today by Hank Hanegraaff. Now available in softcover, you can order by calling 888-7000-CRI or by going online to equip.org. At the Christian Research Institute, we appreciate your support. Through your faithful prayers and contributions, you enable us to continue broadcasting and producing materials that are making a difference in the lives of people around the world. For your gift this month to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, we will send you The Forefront, When Doctrine Meets Daily Life, an audio compilation of 6 insightful interviews with leading experts and contributors to the Christian Research Journal covering crucial topics such as the biblical concept of family, atheism and morality, the killing of the Canaanites, evolution, biblical grounds for divorce, and a thoughtful examination of social media. To order the Forefront audio CD for your gift to the Christian Research Institute, give us a call at 888-7000-274 or go online to equip.org. Let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. Hey, for everyone listening in, a quick admonition. If you've been listening to this broadcast for a long period of time and you love the Ring of Truth, recognize that we do what we do because truth matters, not to be politically correct or prosperous or to have a bigger platform, but because we genuinely believe truth matters. If you could join a team that does what they do because truth matters. It would make such a difference. By God's grace, we have been able to eliminate our operational debt, and now what we are attempting to do is make this broadcast available to more people around the world, and you can be a step in that direction if you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. In the process, we send you 6 editions of the Christian Research Journal as our way of saying thank you. So if you've never joined the monthly Bible Answer Man support team or given a gift to the ministry, take the opportunity to do that right away. It would make such a difference to so many people. You're not giving to us, but through us, touching the lives of people for time and for eternity. You can do it on the World Wide Web in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org, or simply write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Let me know that you're standing with me prayerfully and financially. If you want to do it directly on the phone, resource consultant standing by, the number 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Diane, listening on KTRW in Spokane, Washington. Hi, Diane.
Hi. I have a question about the rapture. I was raised that there is a pre-trib, but I have, every time I look at all the information for the rapture, it never really says what people say it says.
Well, and I think that's absolutely right. I think that's such a good way of saying it. If you look at some of the dominant personalities teaching a pre-tribulational rapture, I can think of no more prominent personality than Dr. Tim LaHaye. He says if you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you'll find all the available details. But when you actually go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you find that it's a great and grand and glorious passage on resurrection. It has nothing whatsoever to do with the pre-tribulational rapture. Yes, the idea of rapture is there, but not in a pre-tribulational sense. There's no sense whatsoever that Jesus comes down and then reverses directions and takes us up to heaven for 7 years and then comes later in a second coming. In fact, if you read this passage, there's nothing secret about it at all. The Lord descends with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God. So the whole notion of a secret rapture followed 7 years later by a second coming, after which people are saved, simply doesn't fit into this passage.
So how would you go about talking to somebody about this? I get into arguments about this with my brother, and I'm trying to tell him where I'm coming from, and he doesn't want to hear it.
Well, first of all, if they don't want to hear, I don't think that you have to force feed them. I think the issue is to become very equipped as a believer yourself to read the Bible for all it's worth, and if someone is open to listen, to communicate with them. I don't feel any responsibility whatsoever to force my view on someone. If someone asks me, I'm equipped to communicate where the problem is and to teach in the process a principle for how to read the Bible for all it's worth. Again, you have those who are teaching the pre-tribulational rapture, like Tim LaHaye, who will point to the passage just noted, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, also say that the rapture is taught in John chapter 14. Again, when you go to the passage, you don't find a hint of a pre-tribulational rapture. So you find that people are imposing their view on the Scripture as opposed to getting it out of the Scripture. And that's the difference between what's called eisegesis and exegesis. Exegesis is where you mine the Scripture for the riches God has placed there. Eisegesis, you place your own riches on the text, and oftentimes they're not rich at all. They're fool's gold.
Okay, thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call, Diane. I want to go back to the phone lines now. Talk to John, listening on Sirius 161 in Silva, North Carolina. Hi.
Hello. How are you, Hank?
Good, John.
I have a comment and a question,
okay,
please.
Sure.
I was really intrigued by the person that was calling in and mentioned about Jehovah's Witness. I had several that came to visit me numerous times over and over, and we're very convinced that some of our interpretations of the Bible are incorrect. One in particular was 1 John, where it said the Word was God.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, in their Bible, the Word was a God.
Right.
And, you know, when we were battering this back and forth, they told me that it was a misinterpretation of, you know, the Christians. And so I told them, give me a week. A week later, I had done some research, and I had used, starting with the people that they used to interpret, you know, that they quoted. I went to those same people and pulled up, you know, how they interpreted 1 John. And none of them agreed with Jehovah's Witness. One of them said that there were four interpretations, you know, that four possible interpretations. That one was one of the weakest. But when I told them this, they just sat and looked at me. You know, they didn't comment or anything. They just stared at me.
You know, you've discovered something, John. What you've discovered is that they run on a little ball field. And if you take them outside the ball field, they're lost. They do give you a blank stare because they really have not learn to read the Bible for all it's worth. What they've learned is the sales pitch of the Watchtower organization, which always seems to center on John chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, where they, by the way, insert the word other four times, completely without warrant, so that Jesus Christ becomes a junior partner in the creation of all other things after he himself is created by God. But that's not what the text tells us, and there's no warrant for tampering with the text. And I think that you've done a very good job. The translation of the Bible that they use, the New World Translation, is a very weak translation. And the Watchtower translators themselves fall into the pagan practice of translating the Greek word kurios as Lord, even in cases where it specifically refers to the Father, all the while castigating other Christians for their use. And so they start with a flawed premise, they build on it, but it's a house of cards. And you found out that by going a little deeper, they don't know what to say. Again, there are witnesses that are open because they know in their heart that they're not satisfied. That hole, that gaping hole is still there that only Jesus Christ can fill. Not the Jesus Christ of the Watchtower organization, but the Jesus Christ who spoke and the universe leapt into existence.
Well, you know, they had a very convincing pamphlet. When I first read it, it kind of disturbed me, showing that you could put an article before a noun, you know, in the Greek language. Well, when I read, you know, one of the interpreters, they said, no, you can only put it if it doesn't change the meaning. You know, you can say a dog, a cat, a man, a whatever, but if it changes the meaning, you know, like a predicate nominative renames a subject, but you change it, you know, with an article, it made it different. And that's where they got the right to put a God. And when they did, they changed the meaning. And when I said, look what you did, and they said, well, you can do it, you know, so many places. I said, you can't do it if it changes the meaning. You know, it says very clearly with the guy who did the interpretation that you can't do that. Anyway, let me get to my question. My question to you is, I know that we're saved by faith and grace. Is water baptism absolutely necessary to be saved?
No, it's not necessary to be saved, but it is necessary to be set apart. Through baptism, we are set apart as those who take up our cross and daily follow Jesus Christ. So we are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, but we are baptized as the first act of obedience by which we say we're no longer our own. We've been bought with a price. We now belong to Jesus Christ. We're going to live the crucified Christ, identify with Christ in his body, which is the body of Jesus Christ, of which he is the head.
But let me just be real blunt with the question.
Sure.
A person could have salvation, and I'm not preaching this. I'm just asking this purely from a kind of an academic standpoint. A person could have salvation and you know, be saved by God and never have had a baptismal experience.
Well, yes, it's a hypothetical. As you say, if it's an academic question, the answer is yes. The thief on the cross placed his faith in Jesus Christ, and Jesus said to him, today you'll be with me in paradise, even though the dying thief had no chance to be baptized. But from the standpoint of how this works in a real-life situation, if you are born again, you're not born as a Lone Ranger Christian, you're born into the family of faith.
Okay.
And through baptism, you are identifying visibly with the body of Christ. And you're saying, I'm no longer my own. I've been bought with a price. I am part of Christ and his body, visibly manifested through the church in the present world. So we are baptized into a community of faith, and we take the elements of communion in community, and we look forward to being part of the forever family in eternity. So again, Christianity knows nothing about Lone Ranger Christians, therefore we're baptized into the body of Christ.
Okay. Thank you so much. I really appreciate this.
You got it.
We get to you all the time.
Thank you so much. There's a lot that could be said as far as the Jehovah's Witness view of the Bible, but oftentimes it is skewed because they have unnecessarily inserted something into their translation of the Bible that makes Jesus Christ not God, but a God. The truth of the matter is, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was not a God, but the Word was God. They teach that because the second occurrence of theos does not have the definite article, it must mean that Jesus is a lesser God. Again, however, this is repudiated by Scripture. There's no definite article in John 1:6. In fact, in verse 6, the text tells us there was a man who was sent, not from a God, but from God. His name was John. And he came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, speaking of John the Baptist, the true light that gives light to every man. And of course, we recognize, as you read on this passage, that the Word became flesh. He made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. He was not created by God. He didn't become a junior creator in the process of creating other things. He was the one who spoke, and the universe leapt into existence. He was before all things, and in him all things hold together. Well, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, and our resource consultants have open phone lines at 888-7000-CRI so that you can join the Bible Answer Man monthly support team. Out of time, out of here. See you next time with more of the show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in your walk with God, just go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-274, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is furnished by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. The Forefront, when doctrine meets daily life, is an equipping audio CD from the Christian Research Institute, compiled from 6 insightful interviews on the Bible Answer Man. For your gift this month, we will send you this helpful CD as our way of saying thank you for your faithful prayers and support. Learn how to define and defend the biblical concept of family. Combat atheism with the truth about objective morality. Explain how the biblical grounds for divorce and remarriage actually protect and elevate the status of women. Respond to the cultural influence of social media and its place in your life. And refute Richard Dawkins and others who claim that Darwinian evolution is proven fact, and much more. Get your copy of The Forefront, when doctrine meets daily life, when you support the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI. Or go to equip.org. In Ephesians 5:15-16, Paul admonishes believers to be very careful how you live, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Today, evidence abounds of the growing evil in our modern-day culture. False teachers and New Age cults continue to seduce millions with their empty promises and false philosophy. Subscribers to the Christian Research Journal know they will regularly receive timely information on the latest religious trends, as well as practical tips on dealing with the challenges to the Christian faith in a fallen world. We encourage you to become a Bible Answer Man support team member through a monthly giving commitment. To thank you, you will receive a free subscription to our award-winning magazine, The Christian Research Journal. For more information on a simple way to become a Bible Answer Man support team member, go online to equip.org. Again, that's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI.